Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
We are really pleased to welcome from the Bay Area, Casey Stern of NBA TV here to After Hours on CBS Sports Radio. And Casey, I would just love to hear your reaction. Now, a couple hours after the game, the series is over. We know the Clay news. What are you feeling?
Yeah, it's honestly tempered excitement for a city that clearly had been waiting to forget. I mean, let's be fair, a country going back to 93 with the Canadians. Last time that we sat there and saw a championship there, you think back to Joe Carter and the Jays and all the misses with the Leafs and the NHL and 20 years without even the postseason until the Bautista bat flip for the Jays. So you think about the city and that franchise and guys like Kyle Lowry, the longest tenured Raptor, and Kawhi and his story and bouncing back. And, you know, it's hard not to temper all of that excitement. Just an odd mood in the arena tonight afterwards when we got the news of Klay Thompson and the torn ACL. Because to sit there and think about, you know, look, you don't want to have this happen to anybody. So you don't want to say you feel worse because it happened to him than somebody else. But if there ever was a guy who exemplifies in a world where we live on negativity and, you know, maybe social media, the best things about sports, the competitive nature you want from a winner and the heart of a champion, and a guy who told Steve Kerr after he had the torn ACL, just give me a couple of minutes of rest. That's what he was telling them when he was going back into the locker room, and then they realized, obviously, and luckily somebody flagged them down, that you have to have the foul shot shot by Clay, otherwise he wouldn't be able to return to the game at any point. They wanted to at least have that opportunity before they checked him out, but he didn't even want to sit down. So it's just so heartbreaking. I mean, forget about from a basketball standpoint, the Warriors and their new building and not having Clay and Durant for a year, and what do they do in terms of loyalty versus maybe the better business decisions and all of that. But just from a human being standpoint, if there ever was a guy who deserves all the good things in life because of the way that he handles himself, it would be Clay. So it's heartbreaking.
It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence and Casey Stern from the Bay Area here on CBS Sports Radio in the wake of Game 6 of the NBA Finals. The Raptors, of course, with this incredible history, winning their first title, but also the first north of the border in the NBA. And you talk about the people and the human interest stories, and there are so many for the Raptors. Nick Nurse as a rookie head coach, Kawhi Leonard after the trade, Danny Green, of course. Not just that, but Marc Gasol gets traded in as well. Kyle Lowry has to adjust to a whole new roster, the Pascal Siakam angle. How did they do it, though, to see them survive what was a really gritty performance by the Warriors and to win three games at Oracle? How did they do it?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing, well, first of all, they were complete, road Warriors, pun intended. You know, this is really something rare. First of all, we've never seen an NBA Finals, Amy, where five consecutive games were won on the road.
Right.
That's never happened. It's only the seventh time we've ever seen a team win three road games in a final in the history of the NBA. And when you think about this, since KD had locked up with the Warriors, they had not lost one home game on their home floor in the finals. And to be in a spot where they go ahead and lose three in a row, you got to give a lot of credit to what this team did. And I think really the biggest thing that they did was, yeah, look, two things. Let's not deny the Kawhi factor, right? It's a huge factor. We're talking about a guy, and I don't want to hear, you know, so many people are talking about two-way player. Look, we have forgotten that defense is part of the game, but that's our own problem and obviously a league problem. But we shouldn't have to say two-way. I mean, you're talking about overall players right now in the game of basketball. We know about the growth that we've seen of Giannis and what needs to continue. We know about the greatness of a Harden, certainly on the offensive side of it. But this is the best overall player right now, probably not named Kevin Durant, at least, in the game. So in terms of health going into next year, to me, this is what you got. I mean, he's at the front end. So let's not say that that's not the biggest factor it is. But I think outside of that, it's depth. I mean, this is the first time since 94 that we've seen any finals game where we had a game in this series where there were five players in the starting lineup who scored 17 points or more. You don't normally see that kind of balance. And I think when we look at the Warriors, their greatness has been what? Not only the Splash Brothers and then obviously Kevin Durant, but all the big shots that we saw the shot making again from Iguodala tonight and the triple-double from Draymond and all the different things their guys do. Well, guess what? You know, Siakam, they were 6-0 in the postseason when he scored 25-plus. He gets 26 tonight. VanVleet broke a record, most ever three-pointers from anybody who was off the bench each time that he shot one during the course of the finals. He had 16. So, you know, I just think the balance and the depth, and I think Masai Ujiri deserves a lot of credit. It's not easy. I don't care what DeMar DeRozan didn't do in the postseason. To trade a franchise face, basically rent a player for a year not knowing whether or not he's going to go, say it's not good enough and take a coach of the year and fire him, and then bring in a guy on his staff instead of somebody new who was there, who had never been a head coach in the league. Now, look, there's luck involved, but there were a lot of risky decisions made, so I think Masai Ujiri deserves a ton of credit.
What made Nick Nurse the right man for the job?
You know, I think, to be honest with you, in talking to the guys and in talking to Kyle Lowry after the game tonight, he said Nick Nurse only yelled at us twice during the course of the year. And then Nick said to me, he said one of the times that he yelled at Kyle was during this playoff run, telling him to be aggressive and be assertive. And, you know, this is a guy who's just not that way. I mean, look, he knows the timeout that he called in the last game. Look, it's not that I hate when people say that's why they lost. A lot of things happened in the final 305.
Right.
But it's one of the weirder timeouts any of us have ever seen in terms of the momentum. But that was the first time that any of us have pinpointed a rookie head coach in a playoff run. Think about that. That's the first thing that anybody's brought up in this whole whatever. The playoffs take like 8 months. I mean, I think it's only two. It feels like 8 months to me. But it is the first time that we talked about it, right? So that's pretty impressive. But I think that the nature of just the heart rate and the lack of a guy who is going to ever show on his face that there's any stress involved, I think it gave confidence to a lot of their players. And I got to say, as an extension of what Nick did, look, one of the great stories in this entire playoff run is what Kyle Lowry did. Because, first of all, you class at every turn, right? Because you look at the way he handled the situation with, you know, the minority owner in the crowd, right? Then you got, you know, he's the one who immediately is sensing, hey, look, how is this crowd cheering an injury and yelling at his own fans? I mean, everything you could do to represent the game the right way in that team, he did. But here's a guy who always was chastised, I mean, ridiculed for being basically a playoff zero. He put a zero-point game up in a loss to the Magic in the first round, for crying out loud. And he's bounced back, and like David Price did in the other sport I cover, you know, at a bigger level, I know obviously higher pay, but both of these guys have big contracts. I like the fact that, you know, if we're going to crush dudes when they don't get it done, right, when these athletes, in the face of what they're supposed to be their biggest moment, they fail and they crumble, I think we got to equally then give the love. And to me, one of the biggest stories is the leadership that was shown during this entire season and this postseason by a guy who wasn't supposed to be the guy you want out there in these kind of spots.
Casey Stern from NBA TV and from the Bay Area. Oracle is now closed. The NBA season is over. The Raptors are champs. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. You operate in NBA circles. You're around these guys. Not just that, but general managers and the decision makers. What is the sense around the league about what Kawhi Leonard will do?
Well, yeah, look, I think there's a sense of what normal people would do, and then there's like who the heck knows with Kawhi. I mean, I had to ask Pascal Siakam, who had told me after a game in this series that Kawhi tells jokes on the plane. I had to double down and ask him about that. I was like, come on, bro, you're not being real. Fred VanVleet told me after this game, he said that he's not going to tell me the truth and ruin the mystique. So, you know, clearly, I think he certainly is going to be a hero in Toronto forever. It doesn't matter. Look, this is not going to be a guy that is going to be booed if he spurns his team and goes anywhere, because what he gave this country, forget about just this city, they'll never forget. In normal circumstances, you ask any athlete or any human being, and getting a chance to be a hero in a country and helping that team win a championship, especially now the East is still wide open, the West may be wide open, certainly with the injuries of the Dubs, they wouldn't leave. But it's Kawhi. So I would guesstimate, if I'm being fair, I think he's gone. I think it's going to be what he always said. I mean, look, now we've been, you know, the other way. Remember this. I mean, you look, Paul George, everybody thought was going home to L.A., but Paul George never really said that. That was what everyone else said. And then he had the big announcement at the party with Russell Westbrook on stage that he was staying with Oklahoma City, which shocked a lot of people. But this is a different story. Kawhi and his camp from day one have been vocal about wanting to go back to Los Angeles and go back close to home and be in California. I don't know if that's changed. Again, who the heck knows, because it's Kawhi. But I would say whatever anybody else would normally do, you probably go the other way with Kawhi Leonard. So I would guess, if I had to, that he leaves.
Although, again, there's some intrigue, and Van Vliet's not going to spoil it. Or was it Siakam that told you that? He's not going to spoil it? Because
yeah, well, Van Vliet was basically telling me that, you know, there's a mystique about Kawhi being, you know, and look, we see, he clearly, the guy can smile. I mean, we've seen it. His laugh maybe, you know, needs a little work, but he doesn't do it that often. But he's just a serious thing. I think that's why he succeeds. I mean, he's one of these guys that just, you know, he's out there to play basketball, but he's out there to win. And I think you saw the elation when that shot went all those bounces, and you saw the emotion from him. You know, I love the fact that Nick Nurse, you know, was saying tonight, he said, you know, he said Kawhi is a different breed. He said his speech with the team was, hey, look, you know, we got one, you know, we did what we needed to do. Now let's go do it on the road. Let's go take one. And Kawhi basically said, you know, screw that. We're getting both. So, and they ended up getting three in a row.
They did.
So, but I think he's gone. I really do.
Interesting. One thing before I let you go, Casey, what do you think the Warriors should do in the offseason? They also have some really interesting questions.
You know, it really is heartbreaking. I think we saw everybody had wrong the rhetoric on the way this team felt about Durant. I think we all saw that. Anybody who questions that now is just being dopey. Because you go look at Bob Myers crying, you go look at Steph, go look at how they walked back to the room with him. Go look at everything that was said. Go look at Clay's Instagram post, by the way, as sad as that is, that he's posted before the game tonight about doing it for KD, and not anyone wouldn't be there without him. They're all wearing his shirt, you know, at practice. I think the loyalty will be shown to Durant. I think they will offer him all of the money, and he will have the choice to take the max and take all of it, or to, you know, opt in at a year and take $31 million and, you know, maybe kind of try and get in the same position, you know, get healthy enough and knock on wood things go right. Maybe you could play even by the playoffs and then kind of go out and just be in the same spot. I think before this he was gone. Now I wonder whether or not he stays. As far as Clay, I don't think he's going. He has meant so much to this franchise. He and Steph, I don't know how they're going to do it, because to be honest with you, I think they're going to need to figure out financially.
Sure.
You know, is there a deal they can make with Clay, in other words, where they do something for this year with the, you know, the handshake on, hey, don't worry, because as soon as, you know, that year's over, we're going to give you the big deal. But I don't think Clay's going anywhere. I also think there's a way better chance Durant stays than there ever was before any of this happened the last few weeks.
Feeling the love, as brutal as this was, as the end. Casey, man, it's been quite a ride, and I know you don't have too much of a break before you go to your other sport, as you say, to Major League Baseball.
I got baseball, then I got the draft on the 20th, and then free agency, so my, you know, at least Thanksgiving is coming at some point.
You can find Casey on Twitter at Casey Stern. Always an entertaining follow. Thank you so much for a couple of minutes after your duties on NBA TV. Good to talk to you.
Anytime, Amy. Be well.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.